The logos for DreamWorks Pictures and Spyglass Entertainment are shown. British Sky Broadcasting presents Ghost Town, starring Ricky Gervais as Bertram Pincus, Greg Kinnear as Frank Herlihy, and Taya Leone as Gwen. It's written by David Kep and John Camps, and directed by David Kep. Voiced by Stephen O'Neill on behalf of MCS Agency. New York City, present day. Frank Herlihy, a handsome man in his 40s, dressed in a black tuxedo and bow tie, is walking along a crowded Manhattan street, talking into his mobile phone.
Is anybody there? Oh, hey, honey, what's up? Slow down. Who are you talking about? No, I don't know. Sweetheart, I don't have a clue what you... An apartment?
He looks to the heavens.
No, of course I'm not looking at an apartment. Why would I be looking at an apartment? Oh, wait a sec. Wait, I know what this is. Oldest trick in the book. Yeah, did a realtor call you? Yeah. Yeah, realtor calls the wife, says, oh, yeah, I spoke to the husband, I'm looking at a... My card? My business card? I don't know. That I don't know. I don't know why he has my business card. Maybe he or she then. Yeah. Okay, surprise ruined. No, it's all right. It's going to be for our anniversary, but I... Yeah, it's just a little one-bedroom in the West Village, but you're going to love it. Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, the car never picked me up at this thing at the Waldorf. I gotta go. I'll see you at home tonight, okay, honey? I love you, too. It's okay. Big kiss. All right, then. Bye-bye.
Standing in the middle of the pavement, he presses buttons on his phone. He looks round surreptitiously as he lifts it to his ear.
Hey, let me ask you a question. You a real estate broker or professional fucking idiot?
In an apartment...
Babe... I really think we ought to let the super do that.
No, I got it. Just move that stuff.
No, I did not say my wife needs to see the apartment. I said Amber needs to see the apartment. Amber. Amber sound like a wife of a man my age to you?
Oh, careful with my table.
No, I'm picking it up right now. Okay, just get the cord for me, huh?
Okay, all right. I got it, baby. What do you want me to do?
Just keep it out of my way.
Well, it's not exactly a love nest if my wife's there picking out the goddamn curtains, is it?
Careful. Get the window. Okay?
Ready?
Yeah, just pull it down.
No, I'm telling you right now, stop talking. Because I'm thinking. No, I'm thinking. I don't... You know what? Just kill it. No, kill it. Kill the whole thing.
Good.
See? DIY. Do it yourself.
An air conditioning unit falls out of the apartment and plunges towards Frank, who's standing below it.
Call me over the weekend, leave a message on the home machine saying the seller's had a change of heart and that the whole thing's...
He looks up.
Dead.
He steps out of the way of the plummeting object.
Wow! You are not gonna believe what almost just happened.
He's hit by a bus.
911!
Whoa! Oh my god, is he dead?
He ain't happy.
As bystanders rush to the scene, Frank, in his blemish-free tuxedo, steps backwards from the accident looking confused. A policeman runs right through him and sneezes. A shopper who's looking back at the scene walks straight through Frank, too.
Oh, you cannot be serious! Get up to sing. Oh, not now.
An upmarket dentist surgery in an Upper East Side street bordering Central Park. In his treatment room, Dr. Bertram Pincus is preparing his dental equipment. Pincus is a squat man in his mid-40s with a round face and a rather morose expression. He has dark hair in a neat side parting. Wearing purple surgical gloves, he takes some filling material out of a little tub. Then a white paste is put into plastic molds for taking imprints of teeth. Some model teeth are being filed down. A tray of stainless steel dental utensils is carefully removed from a sterilizer. There's an array of forceps and pliers laid out on a tray. There's also a hook-shaped pointed instrument and an orthodontic drill. Several x-rays of teeth are on display nearby. Pincus, in his white dentist tunic and wearing a protective visor over his face, is treating a dark-haired woman in her 30s who's sitting in the dentist's chair.
Okay, go ahead and spit.
He takes off his visor.
So anyway, the very first scene just takes your breath away. You have to remind yourself that you're in the theater watching a play. My 5-year-old, Alex, just adored it. He wanted his father to see it with us. I think he really enjoyed the concert.
Dr. Pincus, hi. I'm going to need the panoramic x-ray machine for most of the morning tomorrow, so if that fits in with your appointments.
Fine, I've cleared my schedule for tomorrow.
Really? Oh, well. Well, I hear it's supposed to be a lovely day.
Pincus glances up at the Indian-looking doctor.
And?
Well, no, I just thought that maybe you were taking the day off to go and, Right, well, sorry to bother you. We brought some cake. Mrs. Prashar and I just had our baby, so...
Pincus shrugs.
Yeah, it's a girl, and, we're having a little cake, and I brought some pictures, so...
Oh, be delightful. Start without me.
Great, so...
Dr. Prashar hesitates in the doorway and leaves. Pincus, sitting at his desk, sighs deeply and returns to his notes. Then he heads out of his room and proceeds cautiously along the corridor towards the reception area.
10 hours? Yeah. Oh my God, that seems like a really long time.
No, not really.
It's not?
Not really.
See, that's like too long. So I'll just get a cat, you know?
Prashar takes a couple of glasses of champagne from a counter and watches Pincus skulk out of the dental surgery. A brass nameplate on its front door says Bertram Pincus, DDS. Still wearing his white dentist tunic, Pincus pulls on his overcoat and steps onto the pavement.
Stop global warming?
Pincus hurries past the activist, then stops and sneezes. A delivery man sneezes, heading in the opposite direction. Pincus enters the lobby of his apartment building.
Good evening, Doctor.
The dentist steps purposefully into a lift. A young woman struggling with a large box enters the lobby.
Hey, can you hold the elevator, please? Thank you.
Sorry.
Wait, hold, hey!
He appears rather smug as he stands alone in the lift. He enters his apartment, puts on the light and takes off his coat. The furnishings of the flat are expensive yet plain. His pajamas and slippers are already laid out on the neatly made bed. Then he's sitting in his pajamas at a counter in the kitchen area of an open-plan living room. There are 3 bottles of medicine in front of him that have stickers on them saying, "Warning, laxative agent." With a weary sigh, he looks down at the bottles and thinks to himself. He opens one up, sniffs its contents, and retches.
Oh!
Starts to pour the viscous, lumpy medicine into a tall glass. He screws the top back onto the bottle, and with a look of trepidation, he lifts the glass to his mouth and swiftly drinks its contents. He gags violently again.
Oh! Good, still some more.
Later, he's sitting in an armchair tapping his fingers on its arm as his stomach gurgles. He stops, listens, then resumes his finger tapping. He springs to his feet and rushes out of the room. Next day, he's standing at the reception desk in a hospital.
Charles, come back up yet?
You're there.
I appreciate it.
Spell it.
P-I-N-C-U-S.
Date of birth?
Why?
What day were you born?
No, I understood the question. Why'd you need to know that?
Let's leave it blank. Weight?
Last night or this morning?
You pick.
182 pounds.
Number of alcoholic beverages consumed per week?
Why'd you need to know that?
Well, they want to know.
Well, I'm sure they want to know a lot of things, but I don't want my intimate details auctioned off to the highest bidder, willy-nilly.
I'll put 0. Marital status?
Pass.
Profession?
Irrelevant.
Food allergies?
I'm not going to be eating here.
Are you allergic to sticking plaster?
What a ludicrous question. I'm not answering any more of these, really.
Do you smoke?
Stop it.
Do you wear dentures?
Madam, listen.
When was the last time you ate?
Ah, a pertinent question, at last. Yesterday lunchtime. Thanks for asking. I had a tuna sandwich. Toast was soggy, but...
Did you drink the laxative solution?
Yes.
Did it work?
It was as advertised.
Did you evacuate your bowels?
I drank copious amounts of drain cleaning fluid. What followed was fait accompli.
Sir, what I'm asking is if you were...
I shat. Okay? Good. It, again and again, it was like a terrorist attack down there in the darkness and the chaos, the running and the screaming, okay?
Fine with me.
Good. Gross invasion of my privacy, this.
Wait till they get you in the back.
Then he's lying on a hospital trolley.
Good morning, Dr. Pincus.
Hi.
Don't anticipate any difficulties today. We'll have you up and on your feet in no time. Quick question. I noticed you requested a general anesthetic. That's not really typical for this type of procedure. It's not necessary.
Sorry, I have no intention of being around when they go where they're going. When's the surgeon arrive?
I'm the surgeon.
Really?
Yeah.
Why have you got that tan?
Thanks for noticing. I got a spray tan on my way to work today.
It's natural.
Yes, it's better. It's better for you. It's moisturizing and it doesn't cause UV damage. Yeah. So it has an odd smell. I can't quite place it. I don't know if...
No, I don't want to smell your fake tan.
Wait. It's like dirt, but like a garden dirt, like a good dirt, not like a garbage dirt.
You gonna go darker?
I think I am. I think I'd like to go darker. It's really gonna make my eyes pop.
You could get your teeth whitened like I did.
Oh, yeah, that makes a difference. Yeah, I don't like having trays in my mouth, and my teeth are small.
Sorry, you babbling idiots. Can we talk about my bowels? Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Looks like the sodium thiopental is really kicking in, huh? Makes people say crazy things.
I haven't given it to him yet. Going in now.
How old are you? Sorry, are you here on a school field trip?
Not a real people person, are you, Dr. Pincus?
Not really. Given the choice between a few people and loads of people, I choose my cat. She hunts dwarves. She takes them up the tree. They're still alive. You can see their little legs going. Sounds like Nora Jones when she plays the piano.
The next day, Pincus is being pushed in a wheelchair down a hospital corridor by a female doctor.
Well, you must be excited to get home and see your cat.
What cat?
I thought yesterday you said you had a cat.
I despise cats. What sort of men waste their affection on a cat and a pathetic?
I had a cat once when I was a little girl. My father, right before he died, he took me to the shelter and said, Deborah, take a look at all this.
What a wonderful man he must have been. Now, listen, all those people in my room last night, I thought I was dreaming at first, but I wasn't. Who were they?
I don't know anything about that.
Right.
There you go, clean bill of health.
He gets into a lift.
Come back soon.
What a terrible thing to say in a hospital.
A small group of medical staff in scrubs are smoking at the hospital entrance. A pretty young nurse in an old-fashioned uniform is leaning on a wall nearby. Pincus wafts at the smoke and addresses his remarks to the young nurse, who appears shocked.
Nice. Fine example for healthcare workers. Still, I suppose smoking serves a purpose. Thins the herd, weeds out the stupid.
Are you speaking to me?
Yeah, but I was having a go at them, not you. Oh, good. I picked one that should be in a straitjacket. My mistake.
The dentist walks away from the open-mouthed nurse and shakes his head. The nurse starts following him.
Show it some attention, it follows you home. Unbelievable.
He almost bumps into an elderly couple.
Sorry.
The couple appear surprised. The nurse reaches them.
Did he see you too?
Pincus peers round at the group and keeps walking. A blonde tennis player passes the nurse.
He can see us. That guy?
She joins the little group following Pincus, who crosses a road.
Open your eyes!
The dentist passes a middle-aged man with graying hair who watches him with concern. The man crosses the street towards Pincus.
Hey! Hey, mister! Please, just hold up!
Idiot.
Wait!
Get out of the road!
Listen, I just need 2 minutes!
Look out!
Pincus covers his eyes. A road-sweeping cart passes straight through the man.
Have your time. You can see me, huh? And you're not like us. I know you're not, because back there that cab almost hit you. And he honked at you, and he yelled at you.
I don't feel well.
Why? Hey!
Pincus heads briskly along a path in Central Park. He reaches a bench which a policeman in an old-fashioned uniform is sitting on.
Oh, officer, there's loads of weirdos. I don't know why they're here. I'm a dentist.
Hey, man, you can see me.
Oh, good.
Hey, come back here. I want to talk to you. Hey, don't be scared, I'm a cop!
He can see us?
Oh, that guy?
Still in the park, Pincus hurries along an underpass. A busker's playing a violin at the mouth of the tunnel. The dentist has now pressed himself up against the wall at the side of the subway as the nurses pursuing groups stream out of the tunnel and down a path. Pincus now appears behind them and, standing at a fork in the path, takes the adjacent route. As the dentist hurries away, Frank, still dressed in his tuxedo, stands at the fork in the path with a thoughtful expression on his face.
From the moment I left the hospital.
What kind of side effects?
Hallucinations.
Okay, visual or oral?
Both. And really vivid, really realistic, weird. I mean, that's not normal.
Well, and, you know, what's normal, you know, really?
Well, not having hallucinations, I'd have thought. Did anything unusual happen during my procedure? Why do you keep interrupting me?
No, well...
Did anything unusual happen?
You kind of interrupted me a little bit.
Just answered. Did anything unusual happen?
Where?
What do you mean, where? That's not a proper response. Yes or no? Did anything unusual happen during my procedure?
Yeah.
Right.
No.
You said yes first.
No. It's what I ended with. Yes, no means no.
Did anything unusual happen during my procedure? And if so...
Can you hold on? Can you hold on a second?
She makes a phone call.
Yeah, it's me. Can you stop what you're doing and come down here right away? It's that thing that we talked about. Yeah, well, you told me to call you if it came back, and it came back, so... Okay.
What was that? What's the thing? You told someone the thing came back.
Oh, I have a rash on my back. It came back, so I had to call my doctor.
You... Miss?
Yes.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
What the... What?
Can I...
Follow you?
Yes.
To
my office.
And then you'll tell me?
Yeah.
They enter a very narrow side room. As Pincus starts to speak, the surgeon raises her hand.
Did anything unusual? What? Jesus Christ. Sorry, I wasn't...
We have a meeting in a couple minutes, so just have to...
Did anything unusual happen during my procedure?
Can you please define unusual?
Out of the ordinary, bizarre, unanticipated.
No, this went well. It was good, okay, normal. Yes, good. Well, the cessation, but after that...
Cessation of what?
Dr. Pincus, I don't need to tell you that every medical procedure doesn't follow the same path. Everyone is different. There are subtle variations in even the simplest surgery.
What would a subtle variation be in my case, for example?
Well, one doesn't wish to use jargon.
No.
But, you know, technically...
Yeah.
Medically speaking...
A large man in a suit whispers in the surgeon's ear.
Okay. Yeah. You died.
I died?
A little bit.
For how long?
7 minutes.
A bit less.
I died for 7 minutes.
A bit less.
Approximately.
That's really the only thing that I can think of that was.
How did I die?
For the record, we did not recommend that you use the general anesthesia. When you use anesthesia, there is a chance, although it is small, of a biochemical anomaly.
Where's the anesthesiologist? I want to see him now.
Oh, he does not work here anymore. You'll be happy to know that at St. Victor's, we have a very strict 3 strikes policy.
My anesthesiologist had 2 strikes.
Okay, let's all calm down. Let's just not overdramatize the situation.
Why is he calming down?
Everybody dies.
Yeah, but usually at the end of their life, and just the once, and forever.
Everybody's different.
And you weren't even going to tell me.
Oh, no, we did tell you. We told you that night. We gave you the full report.
No, I don't remember that.
Yes, it says here that you gurgled to me before you rolled your eyes back in your head a little bit.
Pincus opens and shuts his mouth like a goldfish.
Have you any idea how much I'm going to sue you for?
Nothing, I'm afraid.
Oh, he's perked up. Go on.
You signed a general release and a quitclaim form, relieving your surgeon, your anesthesiologist, St. Victor's Hospital, and cooperative institutional health partners from any liability related to your anesthetic-induced cessation of heart function.
I definitely did not.
Is this your signature at the bottom?
When did I sign that?
Right after you passed the post-operative responsiveness test legally mandated by the state of New York.
Obviously, I didn't know what I was doing.
You knew enough to sign your name.
I dotted the I with a little love heart.
You were happy to be alive, right? Now about these hallucinations, what are you seeing?
People.
Later, Dr. Pincus hurries across the tree-lined road in front of his apartment building. He appears a little anxious, and he looks round several times. Frank, still dressed in his tux, stands beside the canopied entrance to the building. Pincus walks straight through him.
Hey, you got a sec? Never get used to that. You're the guy, huh?
No, I'm not the guy. It's another guy. Go away.
Real quick, gotta hit you up for a favor.
No, he's still there. Unbelievable. Ah, good. Excellent. Thank you.
Wait a minute. Wait, what?
Joy.
No.
Oh!
Where to, buddy?
Don't do that.
You're a busy little guy. Let me get right to the point. That woman whose cab you just snaked, that's my wife. My widow. She got a very serious problem. I need your help to fix it.
Where do you want to go, pal?
Tell him 54th and Madison.
I don't want to go to 54th and Madison.
Okay, that narrows it down.
I don't want a sapphire martini up with olives.
Okay, that narrows it down.
Yeah, you're making kind of a fool out of yourself. You can't talk to me when somebody's standing.
Campari and soda.
Campari soda.
No. Pim's cup.
Pim's cup.
Pim's cup? Pim's? Would you get...
Just get a real drink.
Okay, sorry. Can I have the first thing I said?
Sapphire martini up with olives.
The two men are sitting next to each other at an upmarket bar.
Shut up. Well, you need to adjust, right? No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You need a little time to adjust. I get it. I haven't done Jack in 14 months. I've been here. Believe me.
I died today.
The barman glares at the dentist.
What do you mean?
I was dead.
Yeah?
For 7 minutes. And then when they brought me back, I can... Oh.
Yeah, well, look, that's the thing. New York is lousy with ghosts. I mean, they're everywhere. And they're a noisy, pushy, demanding bunch, same as when they were alive. And frustrated, too. The dead have a lot of unfinished business, which is why we're still here. And normally we can't talk to the living, and suddenly you come along, and you can imagine, there's a lot of excitement.
Why are you dressed like that? Were you a maitre d'?
I'm gonna ignore that, okay? You wear what you died in. At least I look nice.
Sapphire martini up with olives.
Thank you.
Drink your drink.
I'm gonna drink my drink.
All right.
Just shut up. Aesthetically pleasing. Am I still dead? I'm still dead, aren't I? This is heaven. Can't be heaven. You wouldn't be here. I'm lying on the operating table. They're gonna bring me round and poof, it's all gonna be a dream.
Well, don't overthink it. You were gone, now you're back. Have a drink. Have another one. God knows I would if I could.
You can take your BlackBerry with you.
I guess.
Well, have you got a signal?
Well, not yet, but I keep trying. Thank not goodness yet. I downloaded Tetris before I went.
Damn it!
How'd you die?
Something went wrong with the anesthetic. I went in for a colonoscopy and it went down.
Yeah, I never got one of those.
I don't think you have to worry about it now.
What kind of anesthetic did they use?
I didn't want to use any.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about your ass feelings?
Don't actually say ass feelings. Well, I knew what you meant with that.
Well, if we're going to be hanging out, I just...
We're not going to be hanging out.
May I ask you a question, young man? It's about my daughter. She lives in Far Rockaway. She won't speak to her sister.
Back off, Marjorie. All right, I'm talking to him. Whatever you do, don't talk to him.
I certainly see no harm in making a request of the young man.
How about the fact that I found him first? Look what you did. You upset him. No, you.
With his hands stuffed in his pockets, Pincus is trudging along a pavement. He sits at an empty bench with a glum expression. He rolls his eyes as Frank is suddenly sitting next to him.
Yeah, very good. I know you're there.
Let's start over, huh?
Come on. You had a rough day. You're tense, you're keyed up. You do yoga? Huh? You do yoga? My girlfriend's got a studio. I'll show you where it is.
Girlfriend? I thought you said you were married.
Did I say I was a perfect person? Come on, let's hail a cab. She's hot.
You don't exist, okay? You're the bizarre after effects of some poorly administered anesthetic. I'm going to go home to bed, and when I wake up in the morning, with any luck, you'll be gone.
That would be truly rotten luck for my wife, who just needs a little bit of your help. If you would come through for me...
I'm not listening anymore.
Hey, I don't want to play hardball with you, but I will if I have to. It's Pincus, right?
Pincus.
Pincus? Pincus? This is a matter of life or death. It's my wife, okay? She lives right here in this building, all right? She's getting married in a couple of months to a real scumbag lawyer, a bad, bad guy. Somebody's got to stop this.
What do you care? You were having an affair.
Never been married, right? Okay. You need time. It's all right. I can take a hint.
It's not a hint.
Good evening, Dr. Pincus.
Just go to hell.
Nighttime. The dentist's tunic is hanging up on its hanger. His mouth wide open, Pincus is asleep on his back in his bed. Pincus remains asleep. A thin, bespectacled young man creeps cautiously into the dentist's bedroom. He's not wearing any clothes. He moves quietly to the side of Pincus's bed, where a large group of people have now gathered and are trying to rouse the dentist with some increasingly urgent throat clearing.
Spastic, what?
Is this a bad time?
My letter went under the carpet.
He lost something important, and I know where it is.
She won't wear a helmet because of me, but that's nuts!
Looking bedraggled, the dentist leaves his apartment.
Gee, I'm sorry, doctor. Did I accidentally give everybody your home address?
The dentist opens the lift, which is crammed with more people. Pincus just stares at them wearily.
Gotta tell you, nobody was more excited than Naked Guy.
Pincus moves away from the lift and opens a door beside Frank. He comes down some steps into the lobby, which is packed with people too.
Leave me alone.
Dr. Pincus?
Back off!
Sorry?
Oh, sorry. Never mind.
Bless you.
Oh, God, thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Bless you.
Stop it. If I sneeze again, I'll assume thank you. Just, I'm not very well. It's not you. It's a bit you. It's mainly, you can't. But you're adding.
Outside the building.
Don't you see, Pincus? There's a reason I'm here, and this is it. I mean, this slimeball, he's using Gwen, trying to get his hands on her money. I left her a good chunk of change in him.
My head.
I'm like a guardian angel.
It's throbbing.
You can be the guardian angel's assistant.
Boss.
What, you don't want to help me earn my wings?
I don't care.
You don't want to at least help Gwen?
She's beyond help, okay? She chose you, didn't she? And now she's got a new slime ball, and if that doesn't work out, I'm sure another Mr. Wrong will come along, because that seems to be her thing. Now, leave me alone. I've got a crown at 8 a.m.
Oh, I see.
I understand. I get it.
What do you get?
You, just this whole self-loathing thing.
No, it's you I loathe.
Oh, please, Frankie spent some time on the couch. You know, dentists have one of the highest suicide rates of any other profession, but this might really give you a chance
Shut
to
up.
Connect with another human
Shut
being.
Shut up,
and
okay? Really... Don't you understand? I don't give a shit. I like what I do. Do you know why? It suits me, because 90% of the people I come into contact with have cotton wool shoved in their mouths. I'm not interested in their political opinions. I don't care what they thought of Spamalot. I don't care about their lives. I just like the quiet!
You are a sad little man.
And you're a lying bigamous corpse.
No, I'm not a bigamous. I'm an adulterer. It's a whole different thing.
Sorry, my mistake. You were a real catch.
Come on, you don't think I'm going to find you in a hotel?
Pincus stops walking.
This is crazy, all right? You want your quiet life back, I'll make you a deal. Okay? I'll talk to him for you. Get him to leave you alone. I'm good at talking people into things. It's what I do.
Did.
Look, you do this one thing for me, you'll never see any of us ever again, okay? Problem solved.
Pincus gives Frank a slight nod. Gwen's standing at the lecture theatre at the Metropolitan Museum.
The mummy's been examined by virologists, oncologists, forensic pathologists searching for signs of foul play. But Pepe III's cause of death at the relatively young age of 23 still remains a mystery.
It can't be that hard to break up a relationship. I used to screw these things up all the time. Maybe we ought to just hire a broad to seduce him and videotape it, you know?
That woman lives in my building.
Or we send her an anonymous letter from his other family.
I've never seen her before.
You stole her cab, remember?
I've never noticed her then.
Never noticed her? Mm. Open your eyes, man. You have a brain in a jar.
Okay, shh. I want to hear what she's got to say.
Really?
Yes.
And the grand manner in which Mummy 1999.1.4 was preserved also suggests that he was embalmed by royal mummifiers as opposed to curbside marketplace perverts. Preserve us. It's awkward.
I suppose the simplest way to break it up would be to plant a seed of doubt in her mind. Give her another option.
I don't get it.
Present her with an alternative.
Oh, yeah, I thought of that. You mean like hire a good-looking male model
don't
or
hire
a
anyone.
Or something
don't,
like
no,
that.
You don't need a, don't need a male model or a fireman.
But somebody handsome, right?
Not too handsome, not chiseled, just approachable sort of.
Because I was thinking like rugged and
round,
like somebody
faced,
tough.
If anything, and sensitive.
Well, he's going to have to have a lot of cash, though.
If he's sensible with his money, he's probably invested well, and that would be
really
attractive. Yeah.
She might like that.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to be tall.
Tall is important.
No, he's not. Average.
Really?
Yeah. Bordering on the show.
Oh, my word, you mean you. Oh, I'm so... Hey, don't walk away mad. Come here. Pink ass.
The dentist has moved to a different seat in the auditorium. Frank sits nearby.
Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, a lot of great ideas sound completely ridiculous at first.
Sorry I even brought it up.
I'm still thinking about it. You know, it might work. I mean, all you'd have to do is be charming enough to give her a few second thoughts, you know? Be a challenge. Almost impossible. But I'd be there, you know, I'm pulling the strings. Guy in the bushes calling the plays, you know. I think I can do it. Really, I can do this. I can do it.
Forget it.
No, you're not married, are you?
Good God, no.
No, you got a girlfriend?
Us currently.
So you use hookers?
No, I don't use hookers.
We've also conducted extensive CT scans to search for orthopedic trauma, which may have led to infection, as you may remember was the case with Tutankhamun, as shown here on slide 43.
No, you know what? It's possible that she could actually go for you. I mean, she likes athletic guys. I mean, you work out or...
Yeah. Twice a week.
Okay.
Free weights.
All right. Yeah. Got a nice thick head of hair.
Protein shampoo.
She's gonna like that.
Yeah, look after your scalp.
Right. All we gotta do is find a way to get you two together, you know, in an apartment. You show up as the cable guy or innocent pizza boy or...
You watch a lot of porn, don't you?
No.
I was inclined to regard this injury as the result of attempts by plunderers to hastily remove the wrappings from the mummy.
I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go over there when she's finished and strike up a conversation with her.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking in the smock.
Yes.
Not, that's...
I came straight from work.
Okay.
I'm a dentist. This is what we wear.
Yeah.
This is how we do it, baby.
Okay.
And remember that the show officially opens on Friday the 12th. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Gwen's packing away her notes on the stage. An elderly man is speaking to her from the auditorium.
You know, it's an interesting story. My daughter went to Egypt.
Oh, really? Did she?
Oh, yeah.
He walks away.
Good, all right.
Pincus sidles up to the edge of the stage.
I owe you an apology.
Do you mean for stealing my cab or for not holding the elevator?
Don't remember the second one.
Oh, no, I know. Maybe it was for that time that you told the super that somebody down on 9 was cooking stenchy ethnic food that stings the eyes.
Is that you?
It was tacos.
They told me that any complaints would be kept anonymous.
Or, you know, maybe it was for the 8 or 10 times that I said hello or good morning or whatever, and you never even looked at me.
A very private person.
What you are is a little bit of a jerk.
Bertram Pincus, DDS.
So I've read.
I enjoyed your lecture very much.
Thank you.
Don't take the walkouts personally.
I hadn't noticed. But, you know, thank you for that encouragement.
Quite a few. What do they know?
Gwen rolls her eyes.
Atrocious dental hygiene.
I'm sorry?
Your mummy, 1999.1.4... He was no flosser. Dental humour.
Is there something else?
Pincus nods, then shakes his head.
Shoes. Your shoes are comfortable. Bye.
They start to walk in the same direction. Pincus does a U-turn.
I knew you were going to come off scary.
It wasn't scary. I caught her at a bad time.
Right, and scared her.
I'm not scary!
Like eye contact. Let me preface this. What the hell is your problem?
I don't have a problem.
Oh, yeah. You got a big problem. Big problem with women. No, I take it back. You got a problem with people.
Yeah, they suck.
Oh, would you quit banging that drum? What's the drama? Some big bad lady went and broke your heart? Well, get over it. It's in the past.
You know nothing about my past.
I know you got to forget about this and let it go. It's not helping you out there. Listen, the thing with women is that they...
I do fine with women. Thanks very much.
You know, for the sake of time, I'm going to agree with that insane point and say, yeah, you do great with women. You do great. but you stink with this one, so we got work to do.
Pincus is lying in a bed.
Oh, and she likes a man who's a man. She likes you to order for her in a restaurant. And don't get bossy. Don't ever tell her to take it easy, Pincus. This will make her absolutely nuts.
Yeah, I do know how to talk to people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got a gift, don't you?
Huh?
Yeah. Once you're with her, you gotta show you care. You gotta be jealous, gotta be suspicious.
Why on earth would I do that?
Because it shows you're interested.
This is the worst advice I've ever had in my life.
But she's jealous too, and she's no dummy.
She thinks you're lying, so raise one eyebrow and cock her hair. God, her pirate look rattles the hell out of you.
They're in a lift.
Hi.
I'm gonna get the next one.
Don't be silly. Get in here.
I don't want you. Okay.
Pincus?
No.
Okay, just don't say anything. No. You're not ready. Just, you're not ready. Just ride in silence, okay? Don't do this. And get that face off. You're not, don't do it!
I've been thinking about your decaying jawbone. Pitting is what I'm talking. Saw it on the slideshow. Which would indicate to me, a trained dentist, some bone loss along the upper left mandibular gum line.
The mummy.
Open invitation to a little vitus called ginger. Gingivitis.
More dental humour. This time pun-based, but essentially.
Check out the mandibular bone loss, if I...
But wouldn't that just be ordinary wear and tear?
Well, there's only on one side, you idiot. I don't think so.
How do the ladies resist that rapiers?
Pincus giggles at a confused-looking Gwen. They step into the lobby.
Not a total disaster. Next time, you just gotta listen to what it is that I'm saying.
Excuse me. Do you think maybe you could come by someday and maybe examine him?
Let's have a look, shall we?
Pincus reaches into his jacket pocket and pulls out a diary.
Okay. No, today's out, tomorrow is out. That. Cannot move that. Can't move that. That is set in stone. And that little puppy is hunkered in good. Hunkery-dunkery-dock. I don't want to move that, but I can't do that either. Busy bee.
It's okay.
I can't let commitments abound. Pack him in. Move him out. Raw hide. No weeds.
Oh, for the love of God!
4 o'clock Thursday seems totally free, so... See you then.
Autumn in Manhattan. The trees in Central Park are covered in amber leaves, and there's a grand fountain beside a lake. In the dentist's apartment, Frank is staring at a newspaper advert on the coffee table. He slumps into the sofa and pulls out his mobile phone. Pincus enters the room.
Oh, thank God you're back. You left the newspaper on a cell phone ad, you sadist.
I'm sorry. No, forget it. I'm not in the mood anymore.
Where have you been? Huh? I sit around here all day long and you're out God knows where. You meet interesting people, you have a career. Hey, is that a new shirt? Hey, it is a new shirt and it's got sleeves. Well, well, well. Pinky's got himself a brand new shirt for the big...
In his bedroom, Pincus has changed into a bright yellow checked shirt. Standing in front of a mirror, he unbuttons the shirt to reveal his chest. He tries to look cool and fiddles with his hair. He sighs, then pushes his hair back and flings his head up and down. He gives himself a new parting, then he teases out his fringe like an 80s pop star. He's now backcombing it with a hairdryer. He puts the airstream from the hairdryer into his face and mouths hi at the mirror.
Yeah, it's my yacht, yeah.
Wearing his new shirt, he's standing opposite Gwen at a table in a lab. The mummy is laid out in between them.
Quite the little heartbreaker, huh? You should have seen the state he was in when we found him. Blackened skin, multiple fractures from extensive marauding, fully retreated lips. 5,000 years of acid reflux will do that to you. Deep down, you know, the preservation was exquisite New Kingdom work. And it's what's underneath that counts. First, they suction his brain out through his nose, and then they make a slit in the side of the abdomen so that they can remove the stomach, liver, intestines.
Beautiful.
so that they could be separately preserved in canopic jars. But what's really exciting about Pepe is how they handled his organ.
His organ?
Yeah, his dick. I got it right here. You want to see it?
Please.
There's nothing unusual about the phallus itself.
Sure.
It's the way it was stored. You know, normally the penis and the heart are kept together and mummified along with the body. But in Pepe's case, they removed it and preserved it in this separate gold-encrusted jar.
Oh, God. I could see why he was king. Oh.
You okay?
Yeah, I've got to get used to looking down at a shriveled old penis eventually. Oh, jeez. I can see he died happy.
That's it. That's enough.
He must have had huge hands.
No, no.
Yeah.
Is this here, the pitting that you were referring to?
Yeah. Here, here, and look, really bad there.
Oh, we just assumed that was post-mortal decay.
Ooh, don't be naive. That is the work of an untreated abscess. That was an absolute magic carpet of bacterial infection.
And that could have killed him?
Yeah, if it was severe, that would have led to something more systemic, and as soon as the infection hit the spinal column, he'd have pennies on his eyes in no time at all.
Well, the mouth.
Huh?
A coin in the mouth. It was a Greek tradition, you know, to pay the boatman to ferry you across the river Styx, but... I mean, this is an amazing breakthrough, and just in time for our opening next Thursday. Hey, will you come?
What, a big opening with loads of people?
Yeah.
And, no.
Thanks. You don't like crowds?
It's not so much the crowd as the individuals in the crowd that I don't like.
Well, if you change your mind, you let me know. It just seems so obvious now. Why didn't I call a dentist sooner?
Everybody waits until it's too late.
So you're a funny dentist. You want to touch him?
Ooh, this is my lucky day.
Yeah. No, no, really, really touch him.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like...
Oh, down there. Oh.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
She bends over the mummy and sniffs.
Oh, don't you just love that smell? Oh. It's not decay. It's the resin. It's pine. They imported it from North Africa.
Good.
After a couple of hours, the smell that was initially so sweet, it triggers your vomit impulse.
Like visiting your grandmother.
Gwen chuckles slightly and frowns.
Sugar-free treat?
Sure. Okay.
The price tag's on his shirt.
It's sweetened with splendor. Surprisingly delightful.
Have you lived in the building long?
4 years and 1 month. Originally born and raised in England, obviously, and then...
Why'd you move?
London. Just too much. Overcrowded, just... Oh, no privacy. Just too many people.
So you picked Manhattan?
The reasoning is a little bit convoluted. It's difficult to explain.
What's her name?
Sarah.
Wife?
No.
Girlfriend?
Yeah.
Still together?
Possibly. I haven't spoken to her for years. No, she died, actually. Quite sad. She had a rare condition. Have you heard of auto-cannibalism? She actually ate herself. I made that up. I'm joking.
But that's not funny.
Funnier than the truth.
Okay, and the truth about Sarah is?
Very boring and ordinary. How long have you been here?
Can you just hold on 1 second? This is so stupid, but my... keychain broke and I can never find my keys. I moved back to the city about a year ago, just after my husband died.
Oh, you lost your husband? I'm sorry to hear that.
Thanks. I want to ask you something, and you tell me if it's inappropriate.
Okay.
Okay. This tooth, it kills whenever I drink anything cold. I mean, it's just... Should I make an appointment?
No, just warm the drinks up. Let's have a look. Head back. Open wide. Hey, dentist. I need you to clip a guy for me.
Can you tell what it is?
It's bad molar contact.
You see, dentist, in life, I accepted payment for a job which I wasn't able to complete.
Bad molar contact? I mean, is it really very serious?
You should come and see me.
Should I?
You have to finish it for me. There's a .38 snub nose taped onto the seat of my mother's Cadillac. You just give me two in the head, leave the gun on the floor.
Maybe I will.
Okay. Oh, what the...
It's now a good time.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, it's just the...
Because you look a little... Oh, jeez.
Oh, no, don't. Careful.
Huh?
Oh, look, right in the ear, Nick. It's just, I saw you talking Irish Eddie, and I figured, you know...
Hey there! Hey!
Oh, good. Another one.
Hey, honey.
Oh, hey, I didn't see you. Hi.
Oh, alive.
Why did this fellow have his hands in your mouth?
Sorry, Dr. Pincus, this is Richard, my fiancé.
Oh.
Richard, this is Dr. Pincus, that dentist that I told you about in the building. I think he's got a really terrific idea about what might have killed Pepe.
Really? That's fantastic. You know, I've been needing to find a dentist myself. Why don't you join us for dinner tomorrow night, Doctor? At Gwen's. I'm making curry.
She's really cute.
Oh, don't.
Doctor?
Yes, love to.
Great.
I'm in 9F, right below you.
Nighttime, in Gwen's living room.
I hope it was edible.
Best pie I've ever tasted.
Stop complimenting him.
You're too kind.
Where did you learn to cook?
Idiot boy, you're making him look good.
I had a friend who was, generous with her time.
Richard's being modest. He worked for 3 years with homeless prostitutes in Bengal.
He's still in the sex trade, or...?
Richard looks blank.
Inappropriate.
Frank attempts a high five, but Pincus ignores him.
You know, Doctor, I confess an ulterior motive in asking you here tonight. As a dentist, you could do an awful lot of good in the developing world. They're in desperate need of modern dental care.
Modern dental care? You believe this guy?
Now, the political will is there. The money's there.
What an act. So pompous. Sorry, what is that?
My new puppy.
NGOs are being supported, record levels.
I need you to punch him.
But what we really need...
Come on.
Our boots on the ground.
Kick his self-righteous teeth in!
How can teeth be self-righteous?
Gwen and Richard look confused.
It's a strange thing for a dentist to burst out with over a curry, but, you know, it needs to be... I know the answer. They can't. What is essentially dentine and enamel outcrops from various mandibles are inanimate and therefore have no moral code. All they can do is chew and grind, and that's passive. It's mainly the cheek muscles do that. But from what were you saying?
We need people like you who can bring their expertise to bear in places like Peru, Cambodia, sub-Saharan Africa.
Mainly those sort of really hot, sticky places. I'm just not a humidity person. I mean, what is the dental care like in, say, I don't know, Palm Springs? There's breezes. You know, what are the teeth like in Saint-Tropez? I mean, I could do veneers. They love to smile, the French. Shrugging and smiling.
He's kidding, sweetie.
Richard appears bemused.
Ah.
He puts his wine glass down and takes his mobile phone out of his shirt pocket.
Sorry, I have to take this.
Well, he'd be handy on a camping trip, huh?
Do you want some more wine?
The tent pole stuck up his ass.
Please.
Gwen heads into the kitchen.
Well, that is perfectly unacceptable.
What? What? Am I throwing you off your game? If I am, just give me a fake cough and...
Okay, was that a Gwen?
Okay. I'm gone.
Gwen moves back into the lounge, sits next to Pincus, and pours some more wine.
Richard's a human rights lawyer, so he takes his job very seriously.
Oh, well, so you should, with human rights. I take human rights seriously, you know. Everybody's equal, colour, creed, or circumstance. We're all the same on this planet. Except the Chinese.
What?
No, they are. They're the odd ones out, if you had to pick one. No, I'm not having a go. I'm just saying, you know, not their faces. I mean, no, but they call each other things like quok. And that's their choice. No, they don't have to call a kid quok. Some people are called pong.
Stop.
And there's about a million wangs. If you have one kid, you can use all those names on one little... You could call a kid quok pong wang.
Meanwhile, Man and Holy Pock have been arrested in Shaolin. I have to get down to the office.
Oh.
Well, they're being arraigned in 30 minutes, and the government will only allow their attorneys to appear by closed circuit. I'm afraid I have to go. Doctor, it's been a... Yeah, so you guys stay and
Have fun and finish up.
Gwen tries to look serious and stifles her giggles.
Oh, gosh. Poor Leonard. Do you mind if I let him out?
No, not at all.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Pinkett is sitting in an armchair with an enormous Great Dane sitting upright next to him.
When did you get your horse?
A couple of months ago. I found him at this shelter on Long Island. They were going to put him down.
Then they lost their nerve, did they? Oh.
The smell? Yeah, I know. His mood levelers give him this ulcerating skin rash.
She sprays a can of air freshener in his direction. Pinker starts to gag repeatedly.
Oh, are you okay?
Got a very sensitive gag reflex.
Oh, dear.
And the mixture of that and that...
Are you all right? Do you want to...
Sorry.
You know what? I think he needs to go out. Do you want to maybe walk him now, or we could finish up and...
Now's good, yeah. Get some air with some oxygen in it. Oh.
Pinkus and Gwen are now standing in front of each other out on the pavement near the apartment building. They smile politely, if a little awkwardly, as if they're waiting for something. Pinkus points to the ground.
Oh, Leonard, you good boy. That is so healthy.
Good boy. This is a good boy.
Yes, good boy. You want to finish dinner?
I don't think I'm quite ready for solid foods just yet. Have a drink, though.
Sure. There's Bellman's. It's just around the corner. Or I know, have you ever been to that...
Gwen is yanked away by the dog. With Leonard looking in through the window, Pinkus and Gwen are sitting at a table in a cosy bistro-style restaurant.
I know, yeah. No, I like Sting because you can hear he's educated in his lyrics.
Tim's got the Galiti.
Thank you.
And a sapphire martini up with olives.
Thank you.
You know, that was Frank's favorite drink.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, sorry.
You forgot?
Huh?
You forgot what?
Forgot? You recently lost your husband, and the polite thing to do in this situation would have been to check what the deceased's drink was, as not to evoke any horrible memories.
Why would you assume that they were horrible?
Painful. Not necessarily horrible at all, but the memories, nonetheless, of drink-related death memory.
Oh. I like a Pimm's cup. Mm. This is exactly the kind of girly drink that Frank would have teased me about. Once when we were in Anguilla, I ordered a screaming orgasm. And so Frank goes up to the waiter and he grabs him by the lapels and he goes, hey, I'm the only one giving...
Oh, for God's sake.
Sorry, I'm just running on about my dead husband.
No, it wasn't you. No, I've just seen someone I hate. It's...
Oh, it's sweet. They never get over Frankie.
Someone I really hate.
Well, do you want to leave?
No. He should leave. Let's do so. You were saying that Frank had his flaws.
I was?
Yeah, and that's really healthy, because you should not romanticize the dead. You should remember their faults.
Oh, well, I remember them.
Oh, good. Well, let's make a list.
What do you think you're doing?
This is therapeutic, actually. You can trust me. I'm a dentist. Come on, then.
Okay.
His faults, number one.
Well, Frank could be a little controlling.
Well, that's what made me successful.
But that's probably why he was so good at his job.
No, don't apologize for him. If he was obnoxious, say so.
Okay. He was occasionally obnoxious.
Regularly, I imagine.
No, you obnoxious. Walked her into that. That didn't count, Pinkus. Hey, what are you doing, Marjorie? You rubbernecking?
Oh, be quiet. Let him talk. You could learn something.
He had a shoe fetish.
It's so embarrassing because it starts on shoes and go to gloves and hats and socks up the right pervert.
Oh, and he was rude to waiters, and I hate that.
Oh, so do I.
You mind?
Because they're just doing a job, aren't they? What a nasty piece of work. So, what about his physical characteristics? I bet he was really into fitness because he's a scrawny little runt, was he?
No, but, you know, he was actually starting to get into yoga at the end there.
I bet he was.
But he spent a lot of time at the gym.
Yeah, okay, this is shaping up nicely. So now we've got a narcissistic, obnoxious pervert who's rude to waiters. It's a good list.
I don't have to listen to shit.
Disloyal.
Frank started to walk away from the table. He stops and turns back towards his wife. Gwen appears a little shocked, as if she's revealed too much. Pinker seems unsure of his response.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
Frank glances at Marjorie, an elderly lady standing nearby, then looks at Gwen with concern.
I didn't know you knew.
I didn't find out until the day he died. Can you imagine? I didn't get the chance to say, hey, go to hell, you know, I want a divorce, like a normal person.
Frank appears emotional after the revelation. He walks slowly out of the restaurant.
Oh, I'm sorry, I must feel...
unfinished.
The dentist gives her the slightest of smiles and looks down at the tablecloth. Later, Pinkus and Gwen are in the elevator of their apartment block with her enormous dog. Gwen smiles thoughtfully as she looks down at the Great Dane.
She used to travel a lot for her work, Sarah. And the trips got longer and longer. And then one trip, she didn't come back at all. Married a man in Portland.
Sorry.
Pinkus shakes his head.
Travel will do that to a relationship. I just got this amazing offer to go map tombs in the Valley of the Kings for 6 months. Oh. But I think I'm going to say no this time.
Oh. Because of Richard?
Yeah. Good night.
Good night.
Gwen steps out of the lift, then returns and holds open the door.
Your story. It's not boring and ordinary, by the way. I mean, we just get the one life, you know? Just one. You can't live someone else's or think it's more important just because it's more dramatic. What happens matters. Maybe only to us, but it matters. Good night.
Good night.
The dentist thinks to himself. Then he's standing in front of the cooker in his kitchen, slowly stirring some cocoa in a pan. Frank's leaning against the window nearby.
What? What's with the doom and gloom? It's going good. You're weaseling your way right in there. This is going to work. This Richard fellow, I think Gwen really loves him. You know, he's a human rights lawyer.
Hey, when the devil shows up, you think he's going to have little red horns and carry a pitchfork? No, he's going to work for Amnesty International. He's going to give all of his money to the homeless.
Well, if he did all that, wouldn't he lose the title, the devil?
You know what I mean. Pinkus, I got better things to do with my time. I wouldn't just be hanging out here.
What exactly is your problem with Richard?
I told you. The guy is setting her up to rob her blind.
And what proof have you got? What are you basing this on?
I saw things with my own two eyes.
Saw what?
Enough to know.
Come on, what did he do?
What? Okay, all right, fine. They're out at a restaurant, okay?
Yeah.
And they're eating.
Yeah.
And the check came. And this clown says that his wallet is in his coat. It's over at the coat check. How convenient, right?
Right.
So he goes over to go get it, makes a big show about the whole thing, too. And she says, no, let me get this.
Frank gives him a knowing smile.
Yeah.
And he accepted.
There's nothing wrong with him, is there?
No, don't you see? He showed his true colors.
Yeah. Listen, he's a perfectly lovely human being.
Pinkus, there are other things. He took $5,000 from her.
He what?
Yeah, $5,000. I saw her write the check with my own two eyes, put it right in his sweaty little fist. It was...
The charity. He was fundraising, wasn't he?
Or shaking the money tree, see what drops,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. What was it, AIDS?
No.
Refugees? Orphans? Orphans.
Good. You're missing the point. You really are. This guy, he's a lawyer.
Yeah, a lawyer who fights to protect the rights of the underprivileged. Come on.
There must be something wrong with him. There must be some reason why all this is happening. Otherwise, what am I doing here?
I'm out.
What? No. What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not going to interfere with Gwen's life anymore, and I can't lie to her. You're right about the pirate look. She threw that at me, and I nearly confessed everything there and then.
You can't abandon her to this creep.
She loves him.
She doesn't love him. I haven't seen her laugh once with this guy.
He's a good man.
You actually like him with this whole Mother Teresa shtick?
I hate him, okay? I want to run him over with his own little stupid electric car. but is what Gwen wants. And after what she's been through with you, she deserves a bit of happiness.
You're in love with her.
Frank rolls his eyes.
You are. Oh, I knew it.
The dentist switches on his bedside light.
My little Grinch heart of yours actually started beating, and now you want to take it back to your cave and crush it with a rock. That's what you want to do.
I quit.
You can't quit. I'll make your life a living hell.
Pincus is taking off his shoes.
It already is.
Frank shakes his head disdainfully and moves towards the front door, which he disappears through. Pincus continues to take off his shoes. Later, Frank's sitting in the middle of a couple who are chatting at an upmarket bar. He's staring into space, lost in thought. Next day, in her bathroom, Gwen's giving her dog a bath and trying to brush his teeth.
There you go. That's such a good boy. Such a good boy. Leonard, open. Open. Come on. Come on, sweetie. Come on. Leonard, don't be a jerk. Come on. Come on. You don't want to wait until it's too late, do you?
She falls off the side of the bath.
What? Ah! Leonard! It's too late. Ah! Too late.
Pincus is back in his surgery. A dark-haired woman's in the dentist's chair.
So Alex says to me, Mommy, I know that babies come from inside a lady's tummy, but what I really want to know is, how do they get there? Can you believe? And of course, I have no clue what to say, but I have to come up with something because his father...
Talking. Not when we're popping this in. Okay. Bite down there. There you go. Oh, good. Just leave that there. Isn't that good? So much better. You're resting your jaw and I'm resting my ears and we're all winners. Huh?
He moves into the reception area.
Can you get these over to the lab? Bit of a rush job. Mr. Harriman's bridge is on the verge of... I thought I was through today after this.
You are through.
What were the...
The waiting room is crowded with people.
What about what?
Frank.
Who?
The...
I don't know who you mean.
What do you... Who? I've never...
Kate, my opinion is that you didn't make sense just now.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about. Can I have the bathroom key, please? I'm having a bit of a...
No, he'll run.
That's him!
Dentist, don't piss me off.
Thank you.
Now carrying a key attached to a huge model tooth, Pincus scampers into an alleyway at the back of the surgery. He's about to head onto the pavement at the front of the building when he spots the group nearby. He hides behind a bush.
He's not in the office!
The woman having the dental treatment appears confused.
Well, then he must be upstairs.
The crowd of ghosts rush into the dentist's apartment building. Pincus hurries past the building's doorman.
Good afternoon.
Oh.
Pincus plonks the loo key down in front of the receptionist.
Just been to the toilet.
She looks round blankly.
Different route back round the... Mm-mm. I mean, I finished earlier than I thought, so I just took my time. I mean, you can take a long time next time. If you...
He enters the treatment room.
Good. Okay. A set. Oh, okay. Oh, good.
Can you take a walk in before you leave, Dr. Pincus? He seems to be in a lot of pain.
Life is pain.
Does that mean yes?
Richard's the new patient.
So, we have an emergency on our hands. I'm Dr. Pincus.
Yes, we've met.
Oh, hi.
Thanks for seeing me.
Yep. What seems to be the problem?
I don't know. I think I must have cracked a filling.
That was silly. Head back. Let's have a look, shall we? Open up. Oh, yeah, there it is. Well, you've got the bite of an Inuit. You've been chewing seal hide.
Yeah, well, I tend to grind my teeth pretty hard when I'm stressed, and I'm... Oh, I don't know, last night was a tough one. I came home and Gwen was...
What? Gwen was...
Oh, no, never mind.
No, you're going to say something.
Well, she was just... No, forget about it.
No, I can't forget about it. Just...
Well, it's nothing. Can we just get
well,
this...
Well, it is something, or you wouldn't have brought it up, and, you know...
It's personal.
I know like that, to... but, I mean, it's to...
I'd rather not talk about it.
Finish just... what you started is my motto. I'm a good listener, Please.
I'd rather not talk about it.
Can you wait a minute then?
I'm in pain.
Please.
Pinker stands in another doorway.
Dr. Prashar?
Prashar is treating a patient in his room. Pinker sidles in.
Jahangir. His first name. You're from a scary country, aren't you?
Excuse me. I'm from India.
Yeah. So you're not a Christian, I guess.
No, I'm a Hindu.
Oh. How would you extract information from a hostile?
Prashar looks confused.
Well, as a Hindu person, I would ask them politely.
Yeah. Just need a technique.
Doctor, I'm with a patient.
Yeah.
Pinkus hesitates, then leaves the room. Then he slides up to Richard on his chair.
So, where were we?
You were telling me about Gwen something?
No, I wasn't. I meant my tooth.
Yeah. Let's do this professionally. All work and no play makes Jack a valuable member of society. Open up.
That hurts.
Did it? Well, take your word for that, but it almost certainly would in this situation. Oh, do you know the worst thing in the world for teeth?
Sugar.
Secrets. If you tell me what's on your mind, you will feel better.
As I said before, Doctor, it's private. I really would like to keep this on a professional footing.
Yes, please. We can play it any way you want to.
He takes the protective cover off a surgical needle.
Actually...
He pushes his equipment trolley to one side and wheels across a number of gas canisters.
That's not Novocaine.
No, it is a little dab of nitrous oxide.
Nitrous? I didn't know you guys still use nitrous. Are there any side effects?
A few. Some people laugh. Some people get sleepy. They'll talk.
He puts the rubber mask over Richard's nose. Later, he's strolling along the street carrying a bag from an expensive clothes shop.
Hey, Frankie! Fancy seeing you here.
You back on the job yet, or you need me to send more?
Huh?
Because I got a couple Civil War reenactors docked your ear off. They used live ammo.
Didn't get the news. Job's done. Richard's history.
What?
She dumped him last night.
How do you know?
He told me. The marriage is up.
So he's out completely?
Well, he wants to stay friends, but she's done with him. She said she was confused about her feelings and it wasn't right to string him along, so...
Why would Richard tell you all this?
Because I gave him 700 millilitres of nitrous oxide.
Is that a lot?
Nah, it's not fatal till 750.
You know, I think this sounds a lot like a premarital spat. I mean, no. Young couples at this stage, very it's normal for them to start to get into
she's
this...
She's taking the job in Egypt. She's going there for 6 months. It's the real thing. She leaves Thursday, right after the exhibition opens.
Well, this is great news.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should maybe go celebrate, I guess.
I can't.
Oh, me neither. Well, what's in the bag?
Oh, nothing.
Is that from a jewelry store? Oh, my gosh. Is that for Gwen?
Doesn't matter.
Whatever happened to the I will not interfere thing?
There's nothing to interfere with now, is there? The relationship's over. She doesn't love him.
And you think she's going to love you, a smock-wearing tooth jockey? I mean, I'm sorry.
You said that if I broke up the marriage, you'd leave me alone. I broke up the marriage. Leave me alone.
You should at least let me help you pick out something. You have any idea how much Please Forgive Me jewelry I bought her over
the years. I can take it from here.
She loves Peruvian gold, but Pinkus, you're rushing things, I'm telling you.
Listen, our time together, as we both know, has been rather unpleasant. But I will say this, even though you're a vulgar man, boorish, distasteful, uncouth, uneducated, stupid, at least...
He looks as if he's run out of things to say.
You gonna finish?
Done.
Okay.
Point is this. We finished what you had to finish. And who knows, one day, not too soon I hope, we meet up again. Until then, this is our fond farewell.
Yeah, but...
Auf Wiedersehen.
But why am I still here?
Pinkus is approaching his apartment building and walks past a group of workmen.
Construction crane dropped 2 tons of steel on us.
That must have hurt.
It was a hydraulic leak. An act of God.
Why does he do those things?
With the crane operator.
He thinks it's all his fault.
Oh, therapy time.
The next day, overlooked by statues of famous literary figures, Pinkus and Gwen are strolling along a tree-lined path in Central Park. Gwen's opening a little gift box.
Don't panic, it's nothing.
keychain. Ah, I needed a keychain. I could love it.
Oh, good.
I can't believe you remembered. That is just... What a strange and practical man you are.
It was down to that or a set of socket wrenches.
Well, I hope you didn't spend too much.
$140. The receipt's in the box.
No, well, you don't actually have to tell people in that situation.
No, I'm just saying it was no big deal. It's not like it's Peruvian gold or anything. And the reason I say that is because there was a set of earrings made from Peruvian gold in the shop, and I thought Gwen would like those, but sorry, a little bit out of my price range. So... What? Stop giving me the pirate look. I just got you a gift and, you know, nothing ostentatious or pushy, just a little gesture to let you know I've been thinking about you, and I think you should accept it in the spirit of friendship with which it was given.
Pirate look? How could you possibly know about that?
I don't.
You do.
Common expression?
No. How do you know about any of this stuff? Pirate look, Peruvian gold?
Ah, everyone knows about Peruvian gold.
And then the other night, Frank's favorite drink.
Oh, come on, take it easy.
Don't tell me to take it easy.
You hate that.
Ah, how do you know what I hate?
Lucky guess. Can we start again?
Why don't you just tell her? Come on, spill it. She's leaving anyway in a few days. Gonna have to go with the truth, Dennis. No choice.
You got about 10 seconds to start talking, buddy, and then I'm out of here. How do you know this stuff from my life with Frank?
That sound crazy.
Try her.
Try me.
A couple of weeks ago, I went into hospital for a routine operation, but there was complications, and I died.
Someone's playing the bongos on a bench nearby.
It's true. I can prove it. He's here right now with us.
You know what? Just stop. What you're doing, it's cruel.
How else would I know all the things I know?
You must have known, Frank. I don't know, maybe you were his dentist.
Ask me something else then, something that I couldn't possibly know.
How do you get like you?
Please, one question, and if I get it wrong, you'll never see me again.
She thinks to herself.
Frank used to have this nightmare over and over, and he'd wake up in tears, and he never told anybody else about it but me. What was it?
Drowning. I dreamed that I dove into the water, and I went down deep, but when I turned around to make it back to the top... I couldn't, no matter how hard I swam.
Drowning. He dived into the water, and it didn't matter how hard he tried to get back to the surface, he couldn't. That's right, isn't it?
Not even close.
She starts to walk away, then stops.
No. You know, the first time I met you, and then the next 10 or 12 times after that, I thought, what a jerk. But then... I got to know you a little bit, right? And I convinced myself that I saw something human in you. You know, maybe he's just a little eccentric, needs a little work. But to use intimate details about my dead husband in order to get close to me or for God knows what other reason, that's unforgivable. You're sick.
She gives him his gift back and strides away.
I love you.
Don't call me.
Open-mouthed, Pincus turns to Frank, who's gazing thoughtfully in the direction of his wife.
You lied. Why would you do that?
With a frown, Frank takes a couple of steps towards the dentist.
Because you're a heartless son of a bitch who doesn't give a rat's ass about anyone but himself.
He again turns to look round at Gwen.
She's already had one of those.
See you around, dentist.
Pincus looks in Gwen's direction wearily. Then, with the setting sun sending pools of dappled light onto the path, the dentist trudges through the park. He slowly approaches a long bench and sits in the middle of it. Night falls very suddenly, and he remains seated on the bench, lost in his thoughts. Marjorie, the elderly woman ghost, is now sitting next to him. The dad with graying hair is on the other side of him.
What?
It's my daughter.
Yeah, you mentioned something about that.
She won't speak to her sister, her only sister. She's so angry about the necklace I left, but I slipped a letter under her door the day before I died. It explained everything. But there was carpeting in the entryway. I didn't know the letter went under the carpet. She never got it.
My God, you're boring, aren't you? Oh.
My little boy has a stuffed animal, a squirrel. It was his favorite. He took it everywhere. Couldn't get to sleep without it. But he lost it on the day I died.
They don't know it's just under the front seat of the car. It's right there. They just can't see it. So now he cries himself to sleep without it every night because to him, the toy's me.
I can't help you.
You mean you won't help us? Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I'll tell you what else is true, shall I? We live alone, and then we die alone. And apparently, we stay alone. That's the truth too, isn't it?
He looks round. He's now alone again on the bench. He looks at Gwen's gift box, which he's still holding. Something drops next to him on the bench. He picks up a hailstone the size of a large ice cube. He looks up at the night sky above him with a frown and is suddenly showered by a deluge of these icy stones. Diamonds, they fade. Flowers, they bloom. I'm telling you. He gets up and hurries away. Manhattan is engulfed in the ice storm. The statue of the angel in the middle of the park has icicles hanging from its head. A tree is covered in an icy glaze. Ice-covered traffic lights shake in the wind. The doorman at the apartment building is blown around by the gusts. Pincus is now sitting in his flat watching the hail come down outside his window. He ventures outside where the doorman is flinging salt from a bucket, some of which goes in the dentist's face. Pincus heads cautiously along the icy pavement through the wind. He suddenly slips over and lands on his back. He reaches the door to the dark surgery. He opens it and puts on the light. The ghostly group are all still seated in the waiting room. The elderly woman, the dad, the biker, the construction workers, the old couple, the nurse, all with expectant and hopeful looks on their faces. With a weary air, Pincus knocks the light off. Then he's sitting in his dentist chair, switching the angle poise lamp above him off and on. Prashar enters the surgery. He switches the light on and Pincus watches as his colleague wanders through the reception area and takes off his overcoat. Pincus looks back at the lamp above him. Later, Prashar is in a little communal area off the main corridor of the surgery making himself a drink. Pincus strolls in with his hands in his pockets. These feelings won't go
away. Hello. What a day.
Yeah, well, appears that winter's upon us.
Hail.
What?
Doesn't even have the decency to snow. Is there any more stupid form of precipitation than hail?
No, I suppose that is the stupidest.
Jahangir.
Yeah.
We're friends.
What?
Associates.
Yeah.
We have things in common.
Yeah.
We share stuff. And panoramic x-ray machine, for example.
Yeah.
We're close.
No. I wouldn't say that.
Not close, but... Well, that's not the point, is it? Listen. I met a woman. The kind of woman who makes you want to go back in time to before you met her. Whatever the hell life was like then, it's not as bad as the hell now. Knowing she's out there and you can't have her. What I'm trying to say is... Could you write me a prescription for Percocet?
What?
Well, I can't prescribe myself, can I? Legally. I just want to sleep and pretend she never happened. Or Darvon. Or Vicodin. Just like a 30 count or 60 if you don't want me to keep bothering you. And I'll be out of your hair. I'm not even going to ask for morphine.
He gives Prashar a pointed look.
Come with me.
Prashar leads his colleague into his room. He indicates Pincus to get into the dentist's chair.
What are we doing?
Just sit down.
No.
Sit down.
Why?
Just sit down.
With a sigh, Pincus does so.
Oh, look, never mind. This is
important. Look.
There's a poster on the ceiling that says, "Hang in there, baby."
Brilliant.
The other one.
Another one says, "Only a life lived for others is worth living."
Yep. As mass-produced poster slogans go, that's good.
Dr. Pincus, at some point in your life, you're going to have to stop and ask yourself the ultimate question. This business of being such a fucking prick What is it really getting me?
Cass thinks about this for a moment. Then he heads into the reception area with a somber expression. He looks at the row of seated ghosts all looking up at him expectantly. The nurse, the elderly couple, the construction workers. He sits next to Marjorie.
Something about a letter.
The next day, Pincus is standing at the top of some steps leading up to a terraced townhouse. A woman is at her front door carrying a small child in one arm and tearfully reading a letter. A flap of carpet has been lifted up by her feet. Marjorie is watching from the street below. The street lamp beside her starts to glow and she disappears in a beam of golden light. Then at a building site beside one of New York's bridges, Pincus is talking to the foreman who's dressed in a lumberjack-style shirt. The dentist points to the underside of a crane. The foreman crouches underneath the vehicle. Pincus watches the three construction workers disappear in a bright light. The foreman emerges from under the crane looking shocked and overwhelmed. He holds onto the side of the vehicle as tears well up in his eyes. Pincus is standing beside a young woman in biker leathers who opens a box and takes out a motorcycle helmet. The biker ghost is sitting nearby on a Harley Davidson.
You should try it on.
With a nod, the woman puts on the grey and black helmet. The headlights on a row of parked motorbikes all start to glow. The biker ghost is immersed in golden light and disappears. Then Pincus is peering under a car seat at a toy squirrel. A little boy runs towards his mother who's sitting on a park bench.
Fell out of his backpack.
Thank you.
With a smile, the dentist starts to walk away.
Dr. Pincus?
It's the chatty woman from the dental surgery. She gives him a wave.
Oh, hi. Sorry, I didn't...
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I never realized.
As the mother kisses her son on the side of the head, the dad smiles and disappears in a shaft of golden light. With a little smile to himself, Pincus turns and walks away. Later, Gwen, in a black evening dress, her hair up in a ponytail, enters the lobby of the apartment building. She stands in front of a mirror and adjusts one of her earrings. She appears a little distracted as she reaches into her handbag and takes out some lipstick. She's about to use it, but stops, stares at herself for a moment, and puts it back. She sighs, as if trying to compose herself, and moves out of the lobby. Frank has been standing nearby, watching her, thinking to himself. Then, with his coat over his dental tunic, Dr. Pincus is hurrying along a pavement. He breaks into a jog and rushes up the stone steps at the entrance to the Metropolitan Museum, above which is a banner that says, Sagara, 1500 BC. Darling, there's no way to know which way. He strides purposefully through a gallery containing glass cases filled with ancient artifacts. Passing men and women in formal evening wear, he hands his coat to an attendant at a coat rack. He appears to be looking for someone, with an expression of concern. Deep down I know somehow,
thank you.
Gwen's in front of an ancient Egyptian temple housed in a modern hall. Pincus approaches the case containing the mummy's body. She stands on the opposite side of the glass case.
What are you doing here?
I've got to talk to you. I've figured it out.
Please, leave me alone.
It's all rubbish. What they tell us in ghost stories, I think they've got it completely wrong.
Ghost stories, this... Could you not do this here tonight?
Look at Pepe, okay? They buried him with everything a dead guy doesn't need. Household pets, money. They even put his penis in a big jar. Why would they do that?
But you saw that penis. It wouldn't have fit in a little jar.
No, not... Why do they put it in a big... Why do they put it in a jar at all? What?
What?
Why would they go to all that trouble for someone they'll never see again?
Because they love him and they want to make sure he'll be okay.
Because if they know he's okay...
Just they can let him go. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Appreciate it.
Exactly. They can let him go. Frank's haunting you, Gwen. Let him go.
If he's haunting me, then shouldn't he let me go?
No, he can't. It's not him. It's you. All this stuff about ghosts having unfinished business. It's us that are unfinished. Let Frank go. Let the pervert decay in peace.
Please, stop following me.
She turns and moves round a square pool at the front of the hall. Pincus approaches her again.
Yes, it's nice to see you both.
That came out all wrong.
I don't care how you knew all that stuff about Frank, okay? I don't care.
I told you.
Maybe you guys were a couple of buddies. How about that?
No.
Regular guys while he was alive, and you went out drinking and went to strip clubs and talked about your girlfriends and laughed at your wives.
I swear.
Who's the matter with me? Why didn't he love me?
I did love you. I still do.
He did love you.
Then why wasn't I enough?
She heads down a corridor lined with large Egyptian artifacts. Pincus and Frank shrug at each other.
You've got nothing to say to that, have you?
What?
Useless.
Please. What do you think I'm going to do, change?
Well,
in all your life, have you ever actually known anybody who's changed at all, ever?
Can you make an effort just for a few seconds?
I am who I am.
I suppose you're talking to him right now. Is that what you want me to believe?
What do you want to tell him? What do you want to say?
I want an answer. I want to know why I wasn't enough for him.
It wasn't you that wasn't enough. It wasn't you that wasn't enough. I don't know why I did the shit that I did.
And he doesn't know why he did the things he did.
And you don't get any smarter just because you're dead.
You don't get smarter after you die.
But I did see one thing, how much I hurt you.
But he's seen how much he hurt you, and...
Frank gazes at Gwen with a careworn expression.
I'm so sorry, honey.
What? What'd he say?
He said he's sorry.
That's it? He's sorry?
Well, it was the way he said it. It was...
Oh, he's sorry. He's sorry.
I'm
heartfelt.
Yeah. Heartfelt.
Good guess. I gotta go pack.
No, you should have heard it. I'm really not doing it justice.
Wait!
Why should I talk to you? You couldn't even get his dream right.
No, because he told me the wrong dream. To try and make me look bad, he stitched me up.
Then what's the right one?
Well, he's not here right now, is he? I can't check with him.
That's convenient.
No, it's not convenient. It's really inconvenient. Listen, I'm not a liar, okay? I've been a lot of things. I've been cold, selfish, self-centered, but I'm not a liar, and I'm not lying now. Gwen, I've lived more in the last few days that I've spent with you since I died than I ever lived before I died, back when I was living, the first time. Right, do you know what I mean?
No.
Right. I'm born, and then...
He's hit by a bus. Gwen rushes towards the accident. The dentist's coat drops out of the sky. Pincus, still in his work clothes, steps backwards, looking confused. An onlooker runs through him. Pincus looks at himself lying at the side of the road. Frank steps up to him.
Ow. That is a real shame. You were really getting somewhere with it, too.
What's happening?
Oh, you ate it, pal. Goddamn MTA strikes again. These drivers are being some menace, right?
No, I'm not dead.
I'm afraid so.
Richard rushes to the scene.
I'm sorry, kiddo.
Aw, come here, you.
Kind of nice.
I was just getting started. Everything else, every minute up to now, has just been a waste of time, just a warm-up.
Yeah. This is the worst part.
Somebody do...
I'm watching her cry.
Do something.
Knowing she needs somebody to comfort her and knowing you can't be you.
Has anyone called 911?
Wait a minute. You gotta be kidding me.
We'll call them.
Wait a minute.
Space. Give me space.
He's kneeling by the body.
He's doing CPR. He knows CPR. Of course he knows CPR.
You need space. You need space.
He's probably gonna cut open your chest and massage your heart back to life with his bare hands.
Oh, Lord. Spare this man.
Okay, I really can't take this guy anymore. Honestly, really, I can't.
Come on.
Gwen is distraught, standing beside the bus watching Richard's efforts. She covers her mouth, trying to stifle her tears. Frank watches her weep. He shakes his head slightly with concern. He looks at Pincus with a thoughtful frown.
Hey, Pincus, there's something I should tell you. It might come in handy if you make it back.
You're gonna help me?
Why? Those tears, she's crying.
Those are for you now.
He looks up as the street lamps around him start to glow.
Listen up. I think my ride's here.
The scene is immersed in white light. Central Park and its surrounding skyscrapers are illuminated in an orange glow. Daytime is rapidly followed by nighttime, then daytime again. Dr. Pincus is lying in a hospital bed. He slowly opens his eyes. The blonde surgeon who performed his colonoscopy and the tall lawyer are standing over him smiling.
Dr. Pincus, always good to see you.
What happened?
You crossed the street when it said don't walk.
Not much of a lawsuit, I'm afraid.
Gwen, was there a woman here?
It's possible, but if she was unable to provide proof of kinship, security would have escorted her off the premises.
Nice work, guys.
The surgeon touches her face nervously.
You went darker.
I went darker, yes.
Looks good. Makes your eyes pop.
Sometime later, Pincus is back working in his surgery. A banner above him says, "Welcome back, Dr. P."
Okay, Mr. Goldman. 6 months. Remember, only floss the ones you want to keep.
Prashar gives Pincus a little thumbs up as he passes the room. Pincus attends to his dental equipment as Gwen, wearing a grey tank top and jeans, appears in his doorway.
I didn't know you were back.
Hi.
Hi.
I thought you were in Egypt.
Oh, I felt like sticking around. You're okay?
Yeah. And the circumstances.
You know, I tried visiting you at the hospital, but they wouldn't...
Yeah, they run a tight ship over there, cooperative institutional health bastards. You okay?
I have bad molar contact.
Oh. Sit down. I was wondering if you had that scene too.
And I actually made the appointment with Dr. Pashar.
Oh, no, of course.
Well, I didn't know...
He's a lovely man. And he's a better dentist than me, but don't tell him I said so.
Anyway, I'm glad to see you're looking well.
And you.
Gwen starts to walk away.
He's 8 years old.
Sorry, what?
Frank. In his dream. The real one. And he's walking in the woods with his dad. He's holding hands, but then suddenly his dad's not there. He tries to find his way back the way he came, but he keeps ending up back where he started, and that's his nightmare. That he's lost, and he can't find his way home.
That's it? Do you still see him?
He found his way home.
That's good.
He attempts the slightest of smiles. With tears in her eyes, Gwen walks away again. Pincus seems to want to say more, but appears to think better of it. He looks down. Gwen slowly returns to the doorway with a confused expression.
Hurts when I smile.
I can fix that for you.
Gwen gives him a careworn smile. The end.
To see you cry, lying there in that position. There's things you need to hear, so turn off your tears and listen. Love turns the whole thing around. No, it won't all go the way it should, but I know the heart of life is good. You know it's nothing. Bad news never had good timing. But then the circle of your friends will defend the silver lining. Pain throws your heart to the ground.
it should, but I know the heart of life is good.
Misunderstood, but I know.